At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Recording in progress.
Hi, Ruth.
Hi, Jess. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for your time.
Not at all. Pleasure.
So this is obviously pre-recorded. So if I ask you anything that you don't want to answer or whatever, you just tell me, I'll cut it out. Is that all right?
Perfect. Yeah.
And
you won't need to, but good to know it's there.
Yeah, it's always a safety blanket. I like saying it even just for my own stress levels as well. So it's just good to know. So we'll probably do around 12 to 15 minutes, if that's okay.
That's perfect.
And obviously it's just the audio that'll go out as well.
Grant, that's fine. I did not prepare for anything else, so that's good.
Same. It's so exciting. Right, so if you are good to go, I might just hit record on all sides, if that's okay.
Sure. No problem at all, Jess.
Give me one second. Okay, great stuff. So can I just start by getting your full name and your title for the tape?
Certainly. So my name is Ruth Buggy and my job title is the Head of Mobility and Smart Networks in SEAI.
Great stuff. Ruth, it's great to have you on the show. As someone who's just bought their first home, I'm over familiar with the SEAI website and the services and the information that are on offer. For those who don't know and maybe haven't gone through the process that I have just gone through, can you just give us a broad overview of the SEAI?
Certainly. So we've been in existence since 2002 and we do offer a whole range of supports to householders in terms of information and awareness about how they can change their behaviour and reduce energy costs and carbon emissions, but also a whole range of grants as well. But we've a whole other range of different programs in SEI, from grants to electric vehicles to sustainable energy communities. We run workshops in schools. We do data and insights around national energy use. So we've a very significant research and demonstration program as well. So there's an awful lot going on there. So it's an exciting time, Jess, in terms of the house buying and all that you have to learn. So I'm sure it's been quite an interesting curve there, trying to get to grips with everything in your own home and see what's possible.
There is so much information, but the good thing is that it all seems quite digestible. Once you do the research and a bit of legwork, it all comes to fruition. One thing that I'm really curious about, though, is the smart meters. I've heard a lot of talk about it. Can you just introduce the very concept of a smart meter and who would want it and why?
Of course. So the Smart Meter Programme is a national programme to replace all of our old, what would be called mechanical or analogue meters, with digital meters that allow for the collection of how much energy you use and when you use that electricity. So it's a way of using data to help inform and change our behaviour around electricity. And it'll also help us absorb the 80% renewable electricity that we want to bring into our grid by 2030. The biggest question we get out when we go out to reach communities and householders is, where do I start? And it's usually that thing of, you bought your house, where do you start with all the information that's there? This is one way to help guide you. So if you understand your electricity use, you can see what options you have and where to focus your limited resources in making changes.
Okay, so let's start there then. So, because I know from using different smart home technologies, so whether it is Google Nest or obviously there's the Amazon technology that's there, people will be familiar with, you know, when you set that up on Google Home, for example, I can go in and I can see my light bulbs, I can see the cameras that I have, I can see the smart devices that I have, and I can control and interact with them. I can see what's playing and so on. Is this something similar that I'll be able to get that level of information on my phone, or how do I access it?
So at the moment, the electricity usage that you have is collected every half hour over the course of 24 hours in your home. And at midnight, that information transfers to your electricity supplier, who will make it available to you in some version of an app or a website the following day. And that shows you how and when you used electricity. Some suppliers can even identify which types of appliances used electricity. So it's a way of looking at your previous usage and going, okay, hang on, I didn't need to switch that on at that time. Maybe I could move that to a different time and see which types of time of use tariff. So it's really guiding you towards finding a time of use tariff that works for your household so that you can make energy savings. Our electricity costs the most and is in most demand between 5 and 7 in the evening. So if we can move households out of that hour of time or those 2 hours of time, it can help bring about cost savings. Now, that's not to tell anybody they shouldn't be eating their dinner between 5 and 7 or they can't do what they need to do, but possibly they don't need to run the washing machine, the dishwasher, the tumble dryer, the Hoover and a hot shower simultaneously at that time, and moving some of those behaviours to a different time of the day could result in significant savings. Some suppliers are providing electricity at night time for about 7 cent a kilowatt hour as opposed to 30 cent during the day at peak hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very significant opportunity there to make savings. From the Google Nest and the Google app that you have, we do expect technologies like that will come about over time and will be developed in line with what people want. So I kind of say there's two types of solutions that we expect to see. One is one you interact with, so very much like you decide, I'm going to set my heating a certain way. But you kind of fit and forget in that situation. You set up certain behavior approaches, and then there's self-learning within some of those tools. So I know my home heating device will detect if I'm out of the house for more than 24 hours and will switch off the hot water. So I don't have to even consider the fact mm-hmm. that I didn't turn off the automatic hot water on those hours. So it's that kind of thing. And then there's the ones that you want to interact with that do things for you or that you want to change on a daily basis. So they're the two types of technologies we expect to see continue to develop. But there's a lot out there already, and it's really interesting for those of us that like to get into that kind of side of things.
And I am such that person. I noticed that the washing machine that was already in the house, you can set it, you can delay that it comes on at certain times and all the rest. And as you said, once you build in those habits, they become second nature and you don't even think about it after a week or so, which is fantastic. In terms of the, this is a stupid question, so bear with me. What do I need to get a smart meter, and can every address get one, or do you have to be, you know, a detached house or semi-detached house or whatever?
Every household can get one. Some house types were left till later in the installation process due to additional technical challenges. So some apartments were later than other households, and they were deployed since I think 2019 on a kind of regional basis. So in order to get economies of scale, different areas were targeted and the installers went out. So every household gets one. You do not have to pay for one. You can refuse one if you want to, but you have to physically opt out. You have to ring ESB networks and register that you don't want one at all. But in terms of getting one, it's very simple, straightforward. It took about half an hour here at my house, and I continued to work through the very short outage and the work being done. And mine was inside my house because I have a very old house. So there's no problem there in terms of everyone getting one. There are a very small number of households that have difficulty getting the communication connection from their home due to locations and other technical challenges. But we're at about 1.9 million smart meters installed to date. So they've gone in really well and really successfully. What we're not seeing as much success on, and we'd like to encourage, is the adoption of the smart tariffs. So getting people the interacting with the smart meter information and seeing what kind of tariff would suit them. And on that, there is an option to move to a 24-hour tariff that is smart. So when you get your smart meter installed, it will go through a series of connections with ESB networks to see is the information transferring okay. And once it does, after about a month, you can then opt into a smart tariff. But you don't have to. And if you don't opt into a smart tariff, your information is only gathered once a month. So you won't get the bill shock, but you won't get all of the services that you could get from a smart meter. And as I said, there is a smart 24-hour tariff for anyone who's apprehensive, which is going to be no more than what you're currently paying and could be less. And it allows you to see what your behaviour is. And over time, you could see a tariff that works for your household and make those savings.
Mm. Is this extra beneficial for those maybe who are working from home, or, you know, for people who are in the house a lot more? Like I leave the house usually around 7:30 every day and I'm out, but my partner works from home. Like, is that beneficial in terms of getting an idea of, you know, how much usage is coming from, you know, the laptops and all the other devices that are on while he's working and so on?
It is, but it's also great in terms of, well, when you're working from home, you realise you can put your clothes on the washing line during the day and you're not doing it at night time. So you can stagger, or you can run the wash machine late, like at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you can put the washing out first thing in the morning. But it also allows you to, yes, certainly understand your daytime usage. If you are interested in getting solar PV for your home, it would help identify what size your home would need, because you'd understand what your usage would be. You'd understand what the base load is when there's nobody there. I'm sure it's sometimes your partner's not in the house and you can say, hang on, why is there still things being used as electricity, because we've nothing switched on? So you can start to, you know, go after those little energy users that you're not aware of. So things like your refrigerator and some of your small devices might be using a small amount of electricity, but your refrigerator is probably using the most amount when you're not there, kind of thing. It cycles on every kind of a third of the time, so it's doing what it needs to do in the background, but everything else should pretty much go to zero. So it does let you compare, but it also gives you much more freedom around changing your behavior. So you might be comfortable leaving a slow cooker on during the day when you're at home. You might have the option of having what my dad calls having his dinner at lunchtime, dinner time, and having his tea at tea time, instead of the other way around. So it depends on what you're used to, but it does give you a lot more flexibility to understand what behavior changes make a difference.
I had read, I don't know, I think it was earlier this year, that some people were opting out of buying into the notion of smart meters and they didn't like the idea of them and so on. Like, are there reasons for that? Are there reasons why people are apprehensive? Because again, from my brain, and I've been a homeowner, I think, 4 weeks now, so maybe I'm missing something here now, but anything that gives me insights into what we're using and also how we can save money sounds good to me. What's the feedback that you're getting from people that might be a bit apprehensive about it?
I think some people are concerned that other people would know when they're in the house and what they're doing in their house. And in the first instance, your data is not transferred live, so it goes afterwards, you know, it goes at the night of. So there's concerns around that. Some people feel that they're being surveilled while that's happening. They're not, and they're concerned about how their information is being used. And the very minute amount of information that's being shared is literally what electricity is being used when. I'd say 94% of households in Ireland in 2022 had internet access. And interestingly, 54% had wearable devices. So when we think about the type of information we're willing to share, where we see a benefit, and I would see the analogy between a smart meter and a smartwatch being quite similar. It's catching how many steps I do, and I can choose to use that information to change my behavior, or I can happily ignore it. So it's finding a usage from the data that works for you. I think there was concerns very early on in the development of smart meters that people might be remotely disconnected. And that's not happening. There still has to be a visit to the household if there's going to be a disconnection. So I think that that might have alleviated some of the concerns. But broadly, it's been very, very successful in terms of getting 1.9 million in. You know, I think as an installation of a project like this, it has been very successfully, and as I said, broadly neutral in terms of people's concerns. But the next stage is the time of use, and it's the behaviour, and it's the response to that. And does that help us manage our grid more efficiently? And does it allow us to integrate more renewables? And do people respond to information when it's made available to them, such as how many steps you walked?
But that is a good analogy, though, and you know, that's something that we've spoken about on the show before in terms of the health tech and so on. I am that kind of person that maybe not instantly I'll change my behaviours, but the more data you have and the more that you can see, well, you should put the washing machine on at 8 o'clock rather than 5 o'clock because you could save your pennies, and it does all add up. Does that mean that there's no benefit to getting a smart meter unless you take those steps?
No, there is a lot of benefits in terms of, one, there's no more bill shock. So regardless of getting a smart meter, so once you get a smart meter, and even if you don't activate a smart plan, you'll still not get the bill shock. So you won't have that experience of getting an estimated bill into the future. So that's a huge concern for people, particularly if you're struggling to, in the wintertime, to meet the bill requirements, that you're not going to accidentally underpay for a couple of months and then get a large bill, or get a large bill that you haven't actually used as yet. So there's that component to it. But I would encourage certainly the smart 24-hour tariff, just to understand what your opportunities are. An average household in Ireland uses about 11 kilowatts of electricity. But what's average, and what's average for your household? And is something going wrong that you could change? Is there a behavior in there that a small change could make a big difference to your cost? And how can we help with that as well? And we do have a considerable portion of the country in or at risk of energy poverty. And more information in that space will be really helpful in terms of trying to find solutions. Certainly the more technology enabled your home is, the greater the benefit opportunities are. So selling back electricity from PV, using a smart heat pump, and future opportunities could be to take in really low cost electricity from the grid, using your home as an effective thermal battery at low energy times, I personally have an electric car, and I've worked out that for 15,000 kilometres a year, if I charge at home at night, that costs me about €150.
Wow.
So that's a saving of about €2,500.
God, that's huge. And again, that's all behaviours and using the information to make more informed choices. The other thing that I'm curious about, and I know a few people who have it, which is the pay-as-you-go heating facilities and electric facilities at home. If they do have those meters, particularly in rented accommodation, for example, can you get smart meters on that, or is that defunct because you are paying as you go?
No, there is a smart pay-as-you-go meter available, and there is an option with some suppliers to get an in-home display. And with those, there's extra benefits in that you can now buy your credit online much more easily. So there's no more running out to the shop at the last minute to top up the meter. You can do it in different ways. So there's very much information in that space as well. And I said that in-home display option for some pay-as-you-go is there too. The rental sector is a challenging one because householders in some cases don't have the option to change the type of meter that's there and make the type of behaviour changes or appliance switches that they would want to do. So it's definitely an area of interest for ourselves. We are developing a smart energy hub on our website. There's information there about that smart lifestyles and smart living. And in time, you'll be able to upload your energy use profile to that, and we'll be able to guide you to the different options that would be there. I would like to see much more flexibility around pay-as-you-go meters, that people could opt in and opt out as appropriate, so they could take advantage of the other benefits.
Yeah. And just to go back to the point of having the smart meter and knowing your usage and so on, that's obviously a tool in your arsenal then when you go to negotiate with your energy provider. You know, if you're moving providers, because Dara Cassidy from bonkers.ie, who's often on this program, is a huge advocate for moving supplier. And if I know what my energy usage is, obviously I know how much I'm paying. I'm better informed then in terms of those negotiations too.
Very much so. And you know what you're using and you know what you can change. And the last time I checked, which was about 6 weeks ago, there's about €800 difference in the average household energy use between the lowest and highest cost provider for electricity. So we spend about €2,500 between heating and electrical use in Ireland. That's a very significant amount of your spend when you add it all up. So, you know, if you can save 10 or 15% on that, that's a lot of money to save. So, you know, it's worth shopping around. Very few people do. What I'd say is all of our electricity is generated and effectively put into a virtual pool, and all the suppliers buy from that pool. So the electricity is exactly the same. You can change how much of renewables you buy potentially, but that's about the only difference. It's all as reliable as each other. You won't get more power cuts because you switch to a different supplier. So from a product comparison basis, it's exactly the same. So shop around for sure. It's not like broadband where you might get different qualities of services with different packages. It's the same. So best cost for you is definitely the best price.
Another stupid question coming for you now. There's been a lot of talk about BER ratings, and obviously there's different rates for green mortgages and so on and so forth. Is there more technology that's going to come? Because a lot, from my basic understanding of it, you know, a lot of the rating is based on, you know, the front door, the attic insulation, stuff like that. Does having the smart meter and other applications of smart technology in the home, does that have any impact at all? And can that help the overall efficiency of your home?
So to the best of my knowledge, the only measure that makes a difference on your building energy rating would be your heating controls. So having good heating controls, zoned and timed heating controls, makes a difference in your BER. The future of the building energy rating process is expected to include what they're calling a smart readiness indicator. So potentially that could encompass the smartness of your home. So that could be how good a broadband connection there is, how much smart technology is in your home, how much flexibility your home can offer to the grid and things like that. So it's definitely coming in the next couple of years. It'll be interesting to see how that works through. We don't have full sight of it, but that smart technology option is really important. And a BER is a comparison tool of how two exact buildings would compare side by side. It doesn't take in usage. So like other things, how well you use your home can have as much of a bearing as what kind of home you have as well.
Okay, well, look, there is plenty of information on the smart meters and a whole lot more up on seai.ie. As I said, I've got it bookmarked on my laptop for the last little while, and it is a fountain of knowledge. Ruth, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us here on News Talk.
Really enjoyed it, Jess. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Ruth, thank you so much for that.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Highland, for innovators everywhere, visit highland.com.